Well, hello and good morning. This is Bob Sutherland from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from a goodly number of sources, mainly the Wall Street Journal, but there'll be some Reuters, Bloomberg, and occasionally a piece from what's left of the business section of the Raleigh News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They have served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, investors are looking past weak data and trade snags that would have roiled markets just months ago, convinced that easing by central banks and a deal between the United States and China will keep stocks marching higher. In recent sessions, markets have shrugged off the biggest drop in U.S. industrial production in nearly a year and a half. A dismal fourth-quarter economic outlook from the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, disappointing data from Europe, Asia, and reports that the United States and China are unlikely to reach a trade deal before the end of the year. Investors will have a look at the batch of U.S. economic data this week, including reports on consumer confidence, new home sales, and goods orders. Among the investors who have pushed the Dow Jones average to eight record closes this month, is head of Heider Capital Management. He is surprised as anyone about the ascent. A few months ago, Mr. Heider's New York-based hedge fund was betting that a worsening U.S. economy and the trade war between the United States and China would weigh on stocks and send investors into comparatively safe assets such as government bonds. Well, some of the biggest names in finance are warning that the government's plan to return Freddie and Fannie, that's Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, to private ownership risks disrupting a market critical to the U.S. housing system. The investors, including BlackRock and Fidelity and Pacific Investment, have told the Trump administration that any move to privatize Fannie and Freddie should include an explicit guarantee of the $5 trillion in mortgage-backed securities that they issue, now, which only Congress can provide. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The Trump administration, by contrast, says it is willing to move forward without such a guarantee, arguing that it is past time for the government to reduce its role in housing. The structure and significance of the guarantee remains a sticking point, given its centrality to the discussion, so said Isaac Boltonsky of Compass Point Research and Trading, which serves large institutional investors. He says the guarantee itself means not only deeper, more liquid markets, but also cheaper borrowing costs for the consumers. Well, many of the biggest United States companies are moderating their spending on equipment and other capital investment as an uncertain business environment prompts some to postpone or shelve otherwise promising projects. That could pose a continuing drag on economic growth. The pullback began as trade tensions escalated last fall, leaving companies unsure about their supply chains, pricing, and profits. It has continued amid signs of slowing global growth and rising consumer concerns about the future. Household names such as Harley-Davidson, AT&T, and Target are joining small businesses in putting the brakes on investment. Some companies have warned it could continue into the next year when the presidential and congressional elections are expected to add even more uncertainty to business decision-making. Well, Apple and Microsoft helped lift the Dow Industrials above 28,000 for the first time this month. That's a milestone that underscored how much the two largest U.S. companies influence major stock indices. Boosted by optimism about a U.S.-China trade deal and sturdy profit growth, the companies have helped buoy the broader technology sector while they vie for the title of largest U.S. firm. Apple shares have soared 66% this year, pushing it ahead of Microsoft with a $1.16 trillion market value. Revenue growth in Apple's services business and products outside the iPhone have fueled fresh enthusiasm for the stock. Even though it has fallen behind its rival in market cap, Microsoft still has a banner year, with shares rallying 47% to give the software company a market value of trillion. Strength in the company's cloud computing segment have helped the Redmond, Washington company offset slower growth elsewhere. Well, here in North Carolina, new business applications hit record highs across North Carolina at the beginning of this year. In the first quarter of 19, there were 29,560 new business applications in North Carolina. That's the highest number of quarterly applications since the Census Bureau began tracking it in 04. The Census Bureau counts new business applications as requests for an employee ID from the Internal Revenue Service. While numbers for local business creation can be spotty, new data from the University of North Carolina's Keenan Institute of Private Enterprise shows that most new firm creation in the state is concentrated in urban areas like Mecklenburg and Wake. Not too surprising. In 2018, the Keenan Institute found that Wake County had the third highest ratio of new firm registration per 1,000 residents for counties in North Carolina. Well, the week of November 16, that's Saturday, November 16, so the Friday figures for you, the Dow Jones closed up 222 points to over 28,000. The S&P 500 was up almost 24 points to close at 31,246. The New York Stock Exchange was up just over 100 to close at 13,492.96. The NASDAQ was up 61, almost 62 points to close at 8,540.83. Gold was down $4.50 to close at 14,67.30. And the cost of crude oil, that was up 95 cents to close at $57.72 a barrel. Well, the Federal Reserve said Friday that corporate debt remains at historically high levels, but overall the United States financial system is resilient, a view in sharp contrast to the problems that led to the 08 financial crisis. In its twice-yearly financial stability report, the Fed said that the situation has changed little since its previous report in May. Federal Reserve Board member Leila Brainard, who chairs the Fed's financial stability panel, said the current combination of low interest rates and high levels of risky types of corporate debt merits heightened vigilance. Well, U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said Friday he was certain that the awarding of $10 billion cloud computing contract to Microsoft instead of Amazon was done fairly. The Pentagon awarded the contract to Microsoft in late October, and Amazon said there was unmistakable bias on the government's part, and it intended to challenge the decision in court. Esper recused himself from the contract decision because his son had worked for one of the other unsuccessful bidders. He says, "I am confident that it was conducted freely and fairly without any type of outside influence." Well, more news from the market here. A surge in government bond yields worldwide carried the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note to its highest close in 3 months. That was on Thursday, as signs of further progress in trade negotiations between the United States and China stoked investor optimism. The yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury settled at 1.92%, according to the trade web, rising from 1.8 on Wednesday to its highest close since late July. Yields rise, of course, as bond prices falls. In Europe, negative yields on some long-term government bonds, which had alarmed investors when they proliferated earlier in the year, they faded amid evidence that easier monetary policy and potentially constructive political developments may have helped the world's biggest economies dodge a major growth slowdown. Well, a group of lawmakers want to limit interest rates on consumer loans nationally at 36%. That's a move that worries the payday and online lending industries. The legislation introduced Tuesday in both chambers of Congress aims to extend to all consumers an interest rate limit already in place for the military, its sponsors said. A rate cap of 36% would effectively eliminate traditional payday loans, which often charge interest rates exceeding 300%, as well as many installment loans offered online. While Democratic lawmakers are the primary supporters of the legislation, Representative Glenn Grothman, a Republican from Wisconsin, is backing the House bill. Well, retail earnings are in the spotlight this week, and some analysts are confident that they will exceed expectations. It's adding to what already has been a strong year for the sector. This week brings earnings reports from Home Depot and Kohl's, Target on Wednesday, Macy's and Nordstrom on Thursday. Analysts noting last week's rosy report from Walmart and the government's October retail sales report expect other retailers will outperform as well. October retail sales showed acceleration. Nomura Instant analyst Michael Baker wrote in a note. In fact, he said, over the past 3 months, the Commerce Department's numbers were the best since the second quarter of 2018. China is working to resolve conflicts with Washington over trade. That's a Commerce Ministry official said on Thursday, dismissing speculation that the talks might be in trouble as inaccurate rumors. Ministry spokesman Gao Feng, he said China was committed to working toward an agreement. Financial markets have swung between elation and gloom as conflicting reports over the talks swirled. Some have cited officials saying they believe a deal is likely by the end of the year, while others have expressed skepticism. Gao described such reports as outside rumors that are not at all reliable. Well, first, robots came for manufacturing jobs. Now artificial intelligence wants the jobs in management, analysts, programming, and information technology. That's a summary of a Brookings Institution study on growing the capacity of computer programs that can sift data and trends, learn from it, and predict outcomes with ever-growing sagacity. Males of European and Asian ancestry overrepresented in those fields in the United States are most likely to take the hit in lost jobs. And Atlanta, which is growing with its growing hub of technical businesses, is rated the ninth most job-exposed city in the United States, so says the report released Wednesday. The report was entitled, What Jobs Are Affected by AI or Artificial Intelligence? The growing role of technology to do jobs that have been the domain of the laboring class, launched prognostications in recent years from study groups and universities about a coming job apocalypse for blue-collar workers. Well, Amtrak inched closer to breaking even last year, the company reported on Friday, as rising ridership and cost cuts continued a multi-year improvement in the railroad's financial performance. Amtrak reported an adjusted operating loss of almost $30 million across the entire national railroad network, significantly beating a previous target of a loss of $75 million in 2019, which ended September 30. Its operating loss in 2018 was $170 million. Operating revenue rose to $3.3 billion, the company said, an increase of 3.6% over fiscal 2018. The railroad's fortunes were boosted by rising ridership in a strong economy. The railroad recorded 32.5 million customer trips, a record that surpassed the previous year by 800,000. Ridership on the premium Acela service in the Northeast corridor grew more than 4% and was up almost 3% on Northeast regional trains. Ridership on the long-distance trains, which have been plagued by delays and unreliability, also grew by almost 1%, the company said. Well, Americans took advantage of lower mortgage rates and purchased more homes in October, though sales were held back by a shortage of available properties. The National Association of Realtors said on Thursday that sales of the existing homes rose 1.9% last month to 5.46 million. That's a 4.6% higher rate than a year ago. Still, the data shows a mixed picture. Housing, including home construction, has picked up this year and fueled economic growth in the July-September quarter for the first time in nearly 2 years. Economists expect it will boost growth in the current quarter as well. Well, back to the China-U.S. tariffs. Trump says no deal yet. President Trump on Friday disputed China's assertion that Washington and Beijing had agreed to roll back tariffs as part of an interim trade accord, but he said progress was being made toward resolving the long-running trade war. Trump said, "I haven't agreed to anything, but we're getting along very well with China. They want to make a deal. Frankly, they want to make a deal a lot more than I do." Stocks fell on the president's remarks, but regained their footing later in the session. Markets soared a day earlier after the Chinese Commerce Ministry said the United States and China had agreed to roll back tariffs as part of the accord. Some observers noted that tariffs are the main leverage held by the United States and that the president wouldn't want to commit to lifting them until the Chinese have agreed to other terms the U.S. is seeking, such as an increased agricultural purchases and new rules to prevent currency manipulation. The heart of the problem is the United States wants to maintain as much tariff leverage as possible, but China wants assurances that they won't be expected to do things in the Phase One agreement without a step down in tariffs. Well, Wall Street says the art of buying cheap stocks is making a comeback for real this time. Money managers and individual investors this month stepped up buying of shares of banks, manufacturers, and other value stocks, often defined as companies whose shares trade at a low multiple of their book value or net worth. The renewed interest has pushed the S&P 500 Value Index up 11% over the past 3 months, more than double the increase of its growth counterpart. The spurt of gains has lifted the Value Index ahead of the S&P 500 Growth Index from 2019 and put it on pace for its strongest year since 2013. Shares of Bank of America, Citigroup, Caterpillar, and United Technologies have been the biggest beneficiaries, all climbing more than 17% in the past 3 months. More investors say the rebound, which started in September and accelerated recently, has the potential to carry on and close a chapter on a decade-long stretch of financial performance. This is by no means the first time investors have heralded a bounce back in value investing, only to quickly see the trade fizzle out. Value stocks have lagged behind shares of fast-growing companies throughout much of the decade-long bull rally. The S&P 500 Value Index has risen 142% over the past 10 years. Some investors and analysts argue this time it is different. Measures of investment sentiment have improved as fears of a recession have abated. Corporate profits are expected to rebound, and trade tensions between the U.S. and China have shown signs of improvement. More importantly, value stocks are trading at some of the most attractive prices in years, analysts say. Well, one of the greatest financial puzzles of the past decade has been why companies didn't load up with the cheapest money in history to invest more. Yeah, lots of theories, most of them wrong. Low investment was because cash was used to buy shares. Because shareholders are short-termists, because of monopolistic behavior, and because CEOs are greedy. There is a twin alternative. That's weak economic growth made new factories unappealing, while the disruptive technologies where investors wanted to spend money didn't involve much investment. To see how hard it is for cheap money to leak into the real economy via companies, take a look at the winners and losers in the stock market. Shareholders rightly worried about the economy as it bumped along at its slowest average growth in more than a half century, while getting excited about new disruptive technologies. Companies reliant on developed world economic growth to expand offered a poor prospect, and so were starved of capital while cash poured into new technology, much of which was spent on things that don't count as investment, such as programmers, brand building, and customer subsidies. Well, Boeing, this is from Dubai. Boeing has secured more deals for its grounded 737 MAX. That's a timely endorsement as the plane maker seeks regulatory approval for returning the aircraft to service. The MAX deals, happening at the biennial Dubai Air Show, broke a five-month order drought for the plane, which has been grounded worldwide since March following its second fatal crash. Kazakhstan's Air Astana agreed on Thursday to buy 30 of the MAX jets, and an undisclosed customer signed up for an additional 20. Those deals, added to the 10 planes bought Monday by Turkey's Sun Express, an existing customer that has yet to receive any of the 32 planes already on order. Stanley Deal, who is Boeing's commercial airlines chief, says, I believe this is momentum. Thus far, we are restoring confidence. Well, sluggish sales at Home Depot and Kohl's slowed the challenges retailers face ahead of the holiday season, while growth at an off-price retailer, TJX Companies, showed that shoppers are still snapping up bargains. Despite a strong U.S. economy, traditional retail sales have battled for customers as spending moves online and people do more of their browsing on their smartphones and less in the aisles of department stores. Tuesday's mixed results followed a strong quarterly performance by Walmart. That's the country's biggest retailer. And last week, the company said traffic to its U.S. stores was increasing and consumer spending was healthy. On Thursday, investors are set to hear from Target, much like Walmart has been taking market share from weaker chains. The winners keep winning and the losers keep losing, so said Jefferies Group analyst Randall Koenig. Well, Bridgewater Associates has bet more than $1 billion that stock markets around the world will fall by March. So said people familiar with the matter. The wager, assembled over a span of months and executed by a handful of Wall Street firms, including Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, would pay off for the world's biggest hedge fund if either the S&P 500 or the Euro Stoxx 50 or both declines, some of the people said. It is made up of put options, which are contracts that give investors the right to sell stocks at a specified price, known as a strike, by a certain date. They allow investors to shell out a relatively small amount of cash to hedge a larger portfolio or making a directional wager. The options expire in March and currently represent one of the largest bearish bets against the market. Bridgewater paid roughly $1.5 billion for the options contracts, or just about 1% of the Westport, Connecticut firm's $150 billion in assets under management. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Well, back to U.S.-China. U.S. stocks rose Friday after Chinese Premier Xi Jinping called for Beijing and Washington to strengthen communications, but still lost ground for the week. The Dow rose 109 points to close at 27,875. S&P gained 6.75 to close at 31,10.29. And the NASDAQ added 13.67. Despite the gains, all three indices broke multi-week win streaks. For the week, the Dow lost 0.5%. And the NASDAQ dropped to 0.3, and the S&P 500 also lost 0.3. The uneven trading reflects the uneven developments of trade negotiations between the U.S. and China, which remains the market's central preoccupation. Friday, it was President Xi's comments that required parsing. Well, a new era is dawning in the entertainment world, and you're about to get a whole lot more choices. That's for better or for worse. The streaming wars are here. Now, titans of media and technology are wagering billions that consumers will pay them a monthly fee to stream TV and movies over the Internet. Walt Disney is launching a $6.99 a month service this week, following Apple's entry earlier this month. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I do hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website,